This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. There is no doubt that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is actually the foundation of our Christian faith and life. As Christians, we are now the living witnesses of that suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ in our daily lives, by our words and also our deeds.
Third Sunday of Easter.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death, but God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance, just as your leaders did. But God has thus brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." The word of the Lord.
Lord, let your face shine on us. Lord, let your face shine on us.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, "I know him," but do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is truly perfected in him. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now the Sunday reflection for this week. In this Sunday's Gospel, Jesus appears before the agitated apostles and he says to them, "Peace be with you." He grants them his peace. As disciples of the risen Lord, we have a mission to preach repentance and forgiveness of sins. But we first have to repent of our own sinfulness, be at peace with God, know the scriptures, and become a living testimony in our communities. The manner in which Jesus relates with the apostles after the resurrection shows them that all is forgiven. Do we always have to wait for the person who wronged us to take the first step before we can forgive them? Jesus teaches us to forgive even before we are approached. So remember that we are called to be witnesses to the resurrection. We do this by preaching, not necessarily with words, but by the way we live our Christian lives, and by repenting of our own sinfulness, as well as forgiving those who offend us. And when suffering comes our way, the Christian in us will help us rise above the challenges of the suffering. This will not lessen the pain, but even when we are suffering, even as we suffer, the Christian person has hope, and this helps us to persevere in life. The Christian is a person who never gives up. And so may the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Robin Peary and Father Hilary Munyaneza contributed to the program, and I'm Father Paul Samasomo. Do stay tuned now for our Bulletin of Church News.
I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis has said, "Only the love of Jesus can transform our life, heal our deepest hearts, and set us free from the vicious circles of disappointment, anger, and constant complaint. The Pope said this on Saturday in a post on Twitter in 9 different languages, tweeting also on Friday through his @pontifex handle. The Holy Father called for an end to child slavery. He said, sadly, in this world, with all its highly developed technology, great numbers of children continue to live in inhuman situations, exploited, maltreated, enslaved, refugees. Today, in acknowledging this, he continued, we feel shame before God who became a child, the Pope tweeted, ending with the hashtag, end child slavery. On Friday morning in the Vatican, Pope Francis received in audience the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, Mr. Filippo Grandi, who later spoke to Vatican Radio about the encounter. He said the discussions with the Pope touched on many areas, including migration, conflict, poverty, and the ongoing pandemic.
It was a very important meeting because, of course, the Holy Father is probably today in the world one of the greatest champions of the cause of the most vulnerable, and in particular of refugees and migrants. So I really came to Rome to see him, to draw strength and inspiration, and I did receive strength and inspiration from this important meeting. We discussed challenges of refugee protection around the world, the difficult context, increasing conflicts, other causes of flight of people. We discussed specific areas, Central America, the flight of Venezuelans in South American countries. We discussed Lebanon, countries going through a difficult crisis. We discussed Europe and the necessity for Europe to equip itself with an instrument to deal with the population movements that can help Europe overcome all the shortcomings that member states are facing now. So this and other topics were the subject of our conversation, but most importantly, I found once again in the message of the Pope that inspiration that we all need to be better in how we deal with others, and especially the poorest.
That was Mr. Filippo Grandi, United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. The Vatican Secretary for Relations with States, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, paid tribute on Saturday to Prince Philip, the late husband of Britain's Queen Elizabeth, on the day of his funeral. In a homily during a remembrance service in Rome's All Saints Anglican Church, Archbishop Gallagher recalled the prince's honorable and faithful service to the Queen, his country, and the world. Francesca Merlo reports.
Speaking at a service in remembrance of Prince Philip at the All Saints Anglican Church in Rome, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher opened his homily by citing a poem in which a forest scene is described. Archbishop Gallagher noted that the forest described in the poem would be full of immense trees of different varieties. He noted that the presence of these trees is always taken for granted, but should there ever be a gap, that will take an eternity to fill. The passing of Prince Philip is such an event in the forest of our contemporary history and society, said Archbishop Gallagher. He described Prince Philip as being a constant, always there, a few steps behind, but always present. The Duke of Edinburgh, husband of Queen Elizabeth, died on the 9th of April, aged 99. Prince Philip was present in so many ways and on so many occasions and scenes, said Archbishop Gallagher, adding that, however, for most of us he has remained indelibly, through many changes and years, the Prince Consort, a role, not an office, at the side of a queen who reigns but does not rule. Prince Philip's achievements are remarkable, continued Archbishop Gallagher. He spoke of the prince's naval career and noted that he was patron of over 800 charities and organizations. The first years of Elizabeth and Philip's marriage, particularly in Malta, are believed to have been very happy, almost carefree, he said. The latter was to change upon the death of the king in 1952, when the Princess Elizabeth was 26 years old. From that moment on until his death, Philip was always there, noted Archbishop Gallagher, and it is clear that the Duke shared the Queen's commitment to the Commonwealth. Bringing his homily to a close, Archbishop Gallagher noted that indeed Prince Philip lived a life of multiple contrasts, and some could be reconciled only with difficulty, while others understandably provoked resentment and pain. However, he continued, the faith we celebrate this Easter cuts through all that, resolving differences and enlightening darkness and dissipating doubts. For the naval commander, the consort, the father of a great family, for the leader in benevolence and education, the battle is over, and all is quiet again in the forest, concluded Archbishop Gallagher. The great tree may have fallen, but it leaves its mark and encourages fresh growth towards the heavens. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Catholic bishops of Ivory Coast have made an appeal to the country's leadership to grant clemency to some inmates to ease overcrowding in prisons across the country. The call came in a message issued on Divine Mercy Sunday on the 12th of April. In the message signed by the National Catholic Commission for Justice, Peace and the Environment, the Ivorian bishop said, in the name of relieving overcrowding in detention facilities and in the name of human dignity, we request from the public authorities an act of clemency and mercy towards the prisoners who are in preventive detention and who can benefit from a presidential pardon. Ivory Coast has 34 prisons and correctional facilities with a prison population of close to 17,000 inmates. The statement also called on relevant authorities to address the living conditions of prisoners and overcrowding. The International Organization for Migration and the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, have confirmed that at least 16 children and 27 adults died after a ship carrying migrants capsized off the coast of Djibouti in the early hours of Monday morning. Lydia O'Kane reports.
The ship was carrying at least 60 migrants seeking to return home to the Horn of Africa after fleeing war-torn Yemen. Among the dead are 8 boys, 8 girls and at least one pregnant woman. A 7-year-old boy is among the survivors rescued from the waters. This tragedy is the second such incident involving the loss of life of migrant children and women in just over a month. In early March, 80 migrants, including minors, were thrown overboard by traffickers in the same waters. Data from 2021 shows that rising numbers of refugees and migrants, including increasingly women and young children, are willing to face the dangers of the sea route to the Arabian Peninsula, but also from the coast of Yemen to Djibouti, despite the risks. Stephanie Davion, IOM's head of mission in Djibouti, said they are deeply concerned about the senseless loss of innocent young lives in this latest migrant tragedy at sea. We call on our partners and donors to come together to reduce the enormous risks faced by migrants trying to return to Djibouti and those trying to reach Yemen to access the Gulf countries to prevent further loss of life, she said. Meanwhile, UNICEF representative Melva Johnson also voiced her concern about the loss of life and the huge risks being taken by migrants. She said, "We will continue to support childcare with our partners. Most importantly, we must continue our actions to ensure the safety and well-being of migrant children." The IOM and UNICEF are already working together with Djibouti authorities and plan to meet jointly with local authorities to offer support and discuss further measures to prevent such senseless tragedies. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
African News Panorama.
The UN Security Council has unanimously passed a resolution which calls for all foreign forces and mercenaries to leave Libya and gives the green light for a UN team to monitor a ceasefire agreement that was reached in October. In a second vote announced on Friday, ambassadors also passed a resolution unanimously renewing measures relating to the illicit export of petroleum through to the 30th of July next year. October's historic UN-brokered ceasefire agreement was signed by military representatives of the internationally recognized Libyan Government of National Accord, the GNA, and its rival, the Libyan National Army, based in eastern Libya. The permanent ceasefire agreement also called for the setting up of a monitoring mechanism to implement it. Amnesty International says thousands in Zimbabwe are struggling to access education, healthcare and housing because they have been classed as stateless. In a new report, the rights group details how Zimbabwean nationality laws have left generations of migrant workers and their families marginalized. It cites, for instance, survivors of the Kuguruhundi massacres of the 1980s who are also locked out of citizenship because they cannot provide the death certificates for relatives which are required to prove Zimbabwean nationality. Amnesty is therefore urging the government of President Emmerson Mnangagwa to ensure the registration and restoration of Zimbabwean nationality to all those entitled to it, including all those born and raised in Zimbabwe to foreign parents, the UN estimates that around 300,000 Zimbabweans are currently at risk of being rendered stateless. And authorities in the northern Nigerian state of Kano say at least 10 people have died and hundreds of others are in hospital after drinking expired powdered orange-flavored drinks. The locally made drinks are usually bought in sachets from local shops or hawkers and prepared by adding water, the BBC reported. The Commissioner of Health of Kano State said that more than 400 people had now fallen sick after consuming expired or substandard sachets in recent weeks. About 50 people are currently undergoing kidney dialysis, said Dr. Aminu Ibrahim Sayawa in a recorded video message to the public. Symptoms manifested by patients have included vomiting, diarrhea, and blood in the urine. Investigations are underway and the public have been urged to check the dates on sachets. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Hello and welcome to the World Around Us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. The UN Secretary General has called for a revolution in urban planning and urban transport to beat back the impacts of climate change and build a green and sustainable future for all. Addressing a meeting of the C40 Mayors Climate Alliance on Friday, Antonio Guterres highlighted that cities and urban centers are on the front lines of the climate crisis, emitting more than 70% of global greenhouse gases, as well as facing risks ranging from rising sea levels to deadly storms. The UN chief went on to explain that cities can also boost climate action, clean energy, and sustainable development through more effective strategies and policies, especially as they recover from the impacts of the coronavirus pandemic. Investment in recovery is a generational opportunity to put climate action, clean energy, and sustainable development at the heart of cities' strategies and policies, said Mr. Gutierrez. His spokesperson, Stefan Dujarric, later briefed the press on what he told the mayors.
This morning, the Secretary General spoke at the closed virtual meeting with leading mayors supported by the C40 Climate Alliance. He noted that cities are on the front line of the climate crisis, more than half a billion urban residents already facing rising sea levels and more frequent or severe storms. The Secretary General said that COVID-19 pandemic is a global catastrophe, but investments in recovery is a generational opportunity to put climate action, clean energy, and sustainable development at the heart of cities' strategies and policies. He called on all to take urgent action on three fronts. First, to work with national leaders to make sure they engage, that they present ambitious nationally determined contributions well before COP26 in November. Second, to commit to net zeros, to commit cities to net zero by 2050, make ambitious plans for the next decade, and bring fellow mayors and local leaders with them. Third, to use the recovery from the pandemic to accelerate investment and implementation in clean, green infrastructure and transparent systems. He emphasized that as we look forward to COP26, this year's other important conference on energy, transport, biodiversity, and systems, let's make 2021 a turning point, a make-it-or-break-it year.
That was Stefan Dujarric, spokesperson for the UN Secretary General. Meanwhile, the mayor of Freetown, capital of Sierra Leone, Yvonne Akinsoya, has been elected as vice chair of the C40 Steering Committee, the governing body providing strategic direction for the global network of 97 cities committed to addressing the climate crisis. Yvonne Akinsoya has served as mayor of Freetown since May 2018. She was featured in the 2021 Time magazine's list of the next 100 most influential people in the world and the BBC 100 Women 2020 list. Yvonne Akinsoya, a chartered accountant, previously served as the director of planning for the National Ebola Response Center in Sierra Leone the role for which she was awarded an OBE, that is Officer in the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. Freetown joined the C40 cities 1 month before the start of the global COVID-19 pandemic, and Mayor Aki Sawyer served on the C40 Global Mayors COVID-19 Recovery Task Force. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and the Secretary General of the World Meteorological Organization, Petteri Tallas, will hold a hybrid joint press conference on Monday to present a report on the state of the global climate in 2020. The spokesperson of the UN Secretary General told a press briefing on Friday that according to the report, climate change indicators and impacts worsened last year. Rights experts have expressed disappointment following a decision by Japanese authorities to release radioactive water into the sea. UN News' Daniel Johnson reports.
Senior UN-appointed human rights experts have said they're deeply disappointed by Japan's decision to discharge radioactive seawater used to cool the stricken Fukushima nuclear plant reactors into the Pacific Ocean. Warning that the move could impact millions of people across the region, the experts maintained that there were considerable risks to the full enjoyment of human rights of populations in and beyond the borders of Japan. The decision is particularly disappointing as experts believe alternative solutions to the problem are available, said Special Rapporteurs Marcos Orellana, Mikhail Fakhri and David Boyd, all appointed by the Human Rights Council. The development follows a declaration by the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, that Japan's decision to dump seawater used to cool Fukushima's reactors following the devastating tsunami in 2011 was both technically feasible and in line with international practice.
That was Daniel Johnson reporting. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature on the family. My name is Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.